Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning, Salem. Hello. Oh, it's June 2nd already. This beautiful Tuesday, I'm Stacy Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use. Want to encourage you to listen online live at KSLM.news and follow us on Facebook at KSLM Radio. We're here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you. And I just want to remind you, if there is a special story or someone you know in the community that you think we should interview be on my show, I would love to hear about that. Send me an email, Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y, at KSLM.news. Lots of news in the headline, but my goal today is to bring some good news. Are you ready for some good news? I sure am. And our news is brought to us today by Bill Sunderland, Country Financial Sunderland Agency, 503-885-0789. Good news is that the curve is flattening on COVID, and I'm encouraged by that. Certainly, as we look at the numbers, we can see that the hospitalization rate, everything is down so far since January 24th, 131,508 people have been tested for COVID. Out of that, 4,302 cases. That's a big difference, right? Lots of people tested, but only 4,302 cases. And the rates are going down, which is nice. 108 people hospitalized with confirmed or suspected COVID-19. Unfortunately, 154 Oregonians through all of this have passed away. But overall, we see the rates going down, and that's good news. Also good news is that I am blessed to have Pastor Kelly Graham in the studio with me today. You know, when we talk about COVID, when we talk about what's been going on, even through this last weekend with the riots, it seems like when you turn on the TV or the mainstream media, as I like to call it, all we hear is we just get inundated with all the negative, 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 negative. And you've heard me say, if you've been listening to the show for the last couple months, you know, I really talk about how we're spiritual beings. Beings having a human experience, right? That we are, there's a little more to the story than just our existence. Don't you wonder why? Do you wonder what it's all about? Do you have questions? I know I have in my lifetime, and I can tell you over and over and over again, and I've shared this with you, that my belief is in a God who created us in His image, and He has a plan for us, our lives, and we have an opportunity for redemption through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and we can live out this life day by day empowered by the Holy Spirit. And I can tell you story after story after story, and in fact, people say, just write a book, Stacy, and at some point I will. But the best book of all is the B-I-B-L-E in my mind, and it's a journey and a roadmap for life. And I'm so blessed to have Pastor Kelly Graham. Actually, I saw him on Facebook. A friend of mine had shared on my friend Molly. Hi, Molly. She had shared on her Facebook page about this church that was doing services or getting a plan together, and I was so inspired and encouraged by it. I thought, I'm going to reach out to him and see if he'll come on the show and talk about our spiritual existence, right? And talk about why it's important to be drawn to God for hope. Welcome to the show this morning. How you doing?
Great, Stacy. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about you and your family and how long you've been at your church is Calvary Chapel of Salem, right?
Yes.
How long have you been here? Go ahead and share with us.
Well, actually, it's a two-part story. Mm-hmm. My wife and I got married back in 1996, mm-hmm. and we ended up coming up to Salem because my wife was finishing at Western Oregon. And a pastor from my parents' church came up and took the church here in Salem, Calvary Chapel. His name was Steve Hopkins. Mm-hmm. And I knew him at least from going to church at Applegate Christian Fellowship in Southern Oregon. And so I contacted him, and we started a journey with his church back then. And we were with them for about 8 or 9 years. I was on full-time staff for about 4 or 5 of those as the basically assistant pastor, youth pastor, family pastor, whatever I was told to do, that's what I did. Mm-hmm. And then we left, and I ended up in a pastorate in Crawfordsville, which is between Brownsville and Sweet Home, for 9 years. And then my pastor was retiring, and he asked if I would come back and take the church. So that's how we came back here, and I've been back in Salem for about 3 years.
Fantastic.
As the lead pastor over there at Calvary Chapel. And, of course, I said I was married, and I have 3 kids. Mm-hmm. Two we had are natural, and then 1 adopted. Son.
Yay.
And my oldest son, he's the adopted one. He's in the Marines. He resides in Camp Pendleton currently.
Okay.
And has about 1.5 years left. And then my daughter is 20, and she just works here in Salem. And my son actually is graduating this year. So we're doing a little graduation ceremony. Since there are none anywhere in the state,
right,
we're going to actually do something at our church for all of our graduates. Just, you know, just kind of a mock graduation, mm-hmm, baccalaureate type ceremony. So, and his name is Seth, and he's 18. So,
oh my goodness. So you're almost at that empty nester
kind of taste.
That's where we're at. And fortunately, our youngest graduated early. Or she would have graduated this. She would have been here probably and graduated. So it worked out pretty good that she went ahead. So so you have this beautiful church fellowship. You have you've been back here 3 years. You're doing your thing, you know, as churches do. You have you make your calendar for the new year, right? Of all the outreach and the spiritual growth and the care groups and all of the, you know, the children outreach and the VBS and all the things that you normally would do. And then COVID-19 hits. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, honestly, I'm kind of tired of the word unprecedented. I think we've caused our own unprecedented issues, but that's my own opinion. When we first found out, of course, I think, you know, there was a progression of Sundays, you know, where they started saying, hey, less numbers and less numbers. We still gathered together. I can't remember what the date was when it was still 250 or mm-hmm less could meet together. Our services aren't any more than that. We have 2 services. And so we felt comfortable doing that. We did employ some hand washing protocols and things, mm-hmm, and just, you know, just we're cautious, just we're careful. And of course, then the following weekend, it was like 25 or less. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, to be honest, I was in a quandary. Both my parents actually worked in healthcare, mm-hmm, down in Southern Oregon. And so it was just challenging seeing the information that was going on. I really personally think the news just completely jumped on this and blew it way out of proportion.
Right.
And so I'm not sure even the president or our governor, I think they're just trying to do crowd control. And that's
right,
been this flattening the curve and all of these things that we've heard. And so in those times, it was really difficult to know what we were to do. And I honestly, what I do is I just get on my face before God, and I was just crying out and asking him, what should we do? And I, to be honest, I'm a pastor. I pastor people.
Right.
I don't talk to screens. I'm not even in a studio like you are here, you know? And so I was just like, what are we going to do here? How do I care for my people? And it was great, because I just felt like God just reminded me of this little FM transmitter unit that a guy in our church has for doing the Kaiser lights. And mm-hmm, so I called Nate. I said, hey, do you think that would work for services? And he goes, I don't know. Come over and grab it. And so literally ran that day, went and got it, brought it back to the church, plugged my iPhone in, and started driving around our property. And you could get the signal anywhere.
Awesome.
And so we came up with this idea for just doing drive-in churches, which it was not necessarily an original idea even at the time. I know there was at least one other church in Washington that was doing it. And, you know, so – but I didn't hear about that till afterwards. And so, you know, it's just a huge blessing. And honestly, it's been a privilege for us that really we never had to shut down.
Right.
We just had to do church differently.
A little differently.
As everybody else has to. And what I told my staff, we have a staff of 7 people. And I just said, everybody's volunteer at this point. If you're fearful and you don't want to come in and work, that's okay. You can stay at home. If you want to come in and just do what you can, and that would be great. And what we did is we just tried to amass a call list of all of our people, which I think a lot of churches did.
Right.
And and began calling our folks and checking in and seeing how they were doing. We all kind of had our own little grouping of people that we knew that were in our sphere of ministry. I tried to actually make a point of trying to call every member as much as I could.
Good.
You know, we didn't even have all the numbers of all of our folks because we're not really a member church.
Right.
If you come, you're a member.
Right.
You know, if you call Calvary Chapel your home, that's where you're at. So, but it was really a great opportunity, honestly, to have touch with our people in a different way, probably than we would have normally. And so that was kind of what we started out initially doing. And I think most churches employed something of that nature, whether calling, texting, emailing, just making contact with their folks. And, you know, my rebellious heart, though, is like, oh, 25 people. We can have 25 people upstairs and 25 people downstairs. And, you know, let's just go for it. And I knew that wasn't the right heart. That wasn't what we should do. And, you know, and I know that on the side of churches, you know, a lot of people, you know, hey, are we being persecuted? What's going on here? I think at the time, I still do not think that we are being persecuted as a church. No one has told me I can't worship God. I can't worship Jesus. You know, but I think the lines are really tough because now, you know, I'm being told how I'm to worship.
Exactly.
And how I'm to do things. And that's, I think, what's the greatest challenge for the pastors today.
Right. And when you think about this time, whenever there's crisis, in my experience running a crisis pregnancy center in the past, whenever there's a crisis, it causes people to start questioning and it starts to look at, well, there's something going on here. I may need some help or consultation. And I think people are most open to ministry when there's a crisis. Mm-hmm. Have you seen the phone calls increase or the outreach? Have you more people showing up at drive-in church? What's your sense there?
It's hard to gauge. I think because we set out to engage our people right up front. There's been a part of it for us that has been business as usual.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that what we've actually seen, maybe not an increase in calls into our office, but we have seen an increased movement of our people taking care of one another.
Yes.
You know, we've seen we do for our midweek services, we do growth groups, and they're sermon based growth groups. You know, I write some questions for them, and we have leaders at different homes and around the city, and those growth groups I think really did a great job, and that's kind of where we reached out to our growth group leaders to make calls to their people, check in, see how it was going. But I think just the nature of us even getting together in a car has been huge for our folks. And I think we never really got out of touch, so to speak. And I think it's been really healthy. And there have been some issues we've had to work through over this time that are specific to it. We actually had a couple who got COVID.
Wow.
And the husband passed away right at the end of March there. He was on a ventilator for about 26 days or more. And he had extenuating health circumstances, of course. And so it was pretty standard what has gone on in this whole crisis. But he knows the Lord. And for him, it's just a graduation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he knows where he's going. And his wife had that hope. And their growth group really surrounded them and kept up with her. And we're checking in constantly throughout that entire time, which was huge for her.
Well, and when you think about how church and the purpose and what it's designed for, that really is what it's all about.
Yeah.
Connecting, watching out for one another, ministering to one another. We're going to continue the conversation after this break. We've got Kelly Graham here from Calvary Chapel Salem with some good news on this Tuesday morning. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We'll be back after this.
Hello, good morning, how you doing?
It's a good morning.
Good morning, Salem. It's a beautiful day today. 7:22 in the morning. 48 degrees right now at the KSLM studios. It's going to be a warm 76 today, the next few days, sunny sky. In fact, I don't even think there's rain in the forecast until Saturday, and temperatures remaining all week long in the 70s. That's really mild, wonderful, wonderful weather. So I hope you get outside and enjoy, maybe take a walk or a stroll today, whatever you do. Thank you for tuning into KSLM today. I'm Stacey Ann, and along with me in the studio is Pastor Kelly Graham with Calvary Chapel here in Salem. And Kelly, you were talking a little bit about last break. You're giving us kind of an outlook of what your church has been doing through the COVID-19, and a lot of people have had to shift gears and really change up how they do everything, from working from home, schooling from home, all of those natural things and routines that we have just totally got messed up, right? And mm-hmm. and something that's so important, very important, has been extremely important in my life is my community connections. And I'm an extrovert, and I thrive by connecting with people. In fact, since I've been in Oregon, this has been a philosophy I've had for many years. I go out treasure hunting, right? And it's not for things, it's for people. And those divine, what I call divine encounters or connections. And just had one the other day, in fact. I went downtown. It was Sunday. I went downtown and I met a gal who has a little secondhand store. And her and I connected. And she said, you brought encouragement today to me. Thank you. You know, and looking for those ways. I can't imagine your staff having to, you know, business as usual, as you said, and all of a sudden it changes majorly. How did you guys all come together and get encouraged and find hope during this time?
Well, you know, we never shut our office down, mm-hmm. technically. And most of the staff came in, you know, off and on throughout the day. There was a lot of responsibilities that just kind of went away. So our mm-hmm. staff didn't have a lot to do. But I think we actually found a huge amount of encouragement amongst each other. We still met together, of course, doing a little bigger circle than we normally do.
Right.
You know, in prayer. And my worship pastor would bring his guitar in and lead us in worship. And we stayed connected that way on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And then just that our planning events and those kinds of things, of course, went away. But we were looking at ways we could creatively help people, trying to, like, hey, have you talked to anybody that has needs? How can we meet that? You know, there's of course been the forward looking planning on what are we going to do now? How does
right.
church look? So there was a little bit of that and more of that, obviously, recently. But it was neat to see the courage of our staff during this time, and just all the unsureties of what was happening or not happening. We were able to share those things. Even they got some, you know, some personal from me, and there was, mm-hmm. you know, because I'm like, let's take this head on. I'm gonna go into the fire, Pastor. You know,
right.
I'm like, you know, hey, if it was something worse, Ebola or something, set up the hazmat on our field, and
right.
you know, and so you know, we had to work through a lot of those feelings and those things, and we did that together as a staff. Which was really neat. Some really intimate times in prayer together and encouraging one another.
So you really got down to some more layers, maybe, would you say? I think each individual is like an onion. You know, you peel down layers and layers.
Well, it was raw. There was times
real.
When I was very real, very
yeah.
raw, and yet you know, it was really neat time. Even our youth pastor, who's our worship leader, Alan. You know, he started just driving around. Mm-hmm. Like on Thursdays, he would just head out and go by his kids' house mm-hmm. and meet them. They would come out on the front lawn. And so just need to see our staff get creative that way. And, you know, our children's ministry director was getting on Zoom calls with her kids in the mm-hmm. office there. So there was a lot of neat things that have come out of this. And I think the biggest impact, you know, for our church, if you look at just socially what's going on, probably our singles. Have been mm-hmm. hit the hardest through this entire thing because they're working from home. They've
yes.
got their cat or their dog.
Isolated.
So, yeah, mm-hmm. they're very isolated. So just having church to come to, even if you're in a car, has been just life-giving for them. So that we, you know, basically what it comes down to, I think the biggest beef for the pastors is social isolation is not good.
No, it is not. And it's not healthy either. And
no.
And the beautiful thing of what I hear you describing, I say this often, it's a Stacyism. We are human beings, not human doings. Yeah. And you guys are being the church, not doing church. You know what I'm saying?
And the beautiful thing was, it wasn't just our staff that had to carry that load, you know. So, you know, just seeing our growth groups reach out in so many different ways was great. And to be honest, we lost one person due to COVID, although they healed the COVID 2 weeks in. He died of something else. But we had so many other people that had needs, and we probably lost two or three other people, four people in our sphere of folks to death in some way.
Wow.
Not even COVID related. And I think what people need to realize, especially for us pastors, we do this all the time. We walk people to the end of their life constantly.
Right.
You know, and it was really hard, I think, not being able to get in the hospital when we would normally go visit somebody and walk them through this process and lead them into eternity.
Right.
You know, that was the biggest thing. And that really even the pastors were not treated as essential, even though I'm the first one people call.
Yes.
When their loved one goes down or whatever. They want to get on the prayer list. They want a pastor to know. They want us to come out and visit. Actually, I got a call yesterday because a lady in our church, her stepfather had a stroke. And she wants me to talk to him, even though he doesn't go to my church or anything, just to help, you know, because I had two strokes 5 or 6 years ago, and just how can I encourage him in this process? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I really appreciated the president's comments that churches are essential, that pastors will care for their people and take care of them and want to keep them as safe as possible and take the steps and do the things that were necessary. And having some people get the COVID in our church, they were there the last weekend we were together. They were with their growth group. And no one else got it because of those preventative steps we had in place, I really believe. And then part of it, I believe the Lord's always looking out for us.
Yes.
You know, he has our life in his hands. He has the universe in the palm of his hands.
Mm-hmm.
How much more our lives?
Yeah, he's not surprised by this by any means.
No, not at all.
For our lesson through this is how to tune into him and be right where he needs us to be. And the interesting for me in all of this is a church is so connected and should be so connected to the parishioners and the people that they serve. It would make sense that they would do what they need to do to protect their own. To say that and to try to mandate from the outside, not understanding how a church works in a sense, you know, numbers and this and that, I can't wrap my head around it because of being involved in ministry, being a part of children's ministry and things like that. That's already a part of what you do. It's kind of like being in the medical professional. You already know what you need to do. And so when we come back from this break, I want you to share what God's put on your heart for the listeners today. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use this day, this Tuesday, and every day. We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's a good morning.
Good morning to you. Thank you for tuning in on this Tuesday, June 2nd. If it's your birthday today, happy birthday to you. I'm Stacy Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use. Good news today. We're talking with Pastor Kelly, and he is from Calvary Chapel here in Salem. And we, you know, Kelly, it's been a real interesting season. And I think it's easy in the human experience to think we can do it in and of ourselves and we've got this. And then when outside things happen in our lives and a crisis happens or suddenly someone isn't there or we don't have our job, you know, our world is shaken. What we thought we were pretty secure, it makes us start looking at things differently and it makes us question our existence. What's the purpose and meaning of it all of that. Give us some good news today. Share with us what's on your heart.
Thanks, Stacy. There's just a couple things. I think as we move forward, I think we need to recognize that social distancing is not healthy on a long-term basis. It's not what we were designed for. Genesis 2, Adam was there in the garden. And what does it say? It is not good for man to be alone. Mm-hmm. And so I will create a helper suitable for him. And so from the beginning, God created us to be in relationship. And of course, that marriage relationship is the closest relationship that we can have. And really both parts of God coming together in one marriage, it's a profound relationship. And I just know as a pastor, relationship is huge. You cannot live this life on your own. And there's nothing in the Bible, as far as what we teach or anything in scriptures, that says for us to do life alone. It calls for community. It calls for us to be loving God and loving each other, to be lifting one another up. It calls us into accountability. And if you take that away, you're taking away how God designed us from the beginning in the garden. And really, Stacy, this is the whole point of what we believe in Christ, you see.
Mm-hmm.
God saw that there was a broken relationship with him and his creation. And so what did he do? He sent Jesus down.
Right.
So Jesus could come and touch us. So he could come and be God with us. That's what the Gospel of Matthew tells us. Jesus came to be God with us, not God separate somewhere up in the sky or in heaven or, you know, whatever we think of this place out there, but to be God with us. He was there when a leper came. And the leper comes, man, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus reached out. He didn't just say, oh, yeah, go and be clean. He actually reached out and touched the leper and said, be clean. He had a woman come up behind him that had been bleeding for 12 years and had this medical issue. And she touched him. And he is in this crowd of people pressing in. He's like, who touched me? I mean, he could feel her touch and the power that went out from him. And so we know that Jesus came for that very reason and gave, you know, his life for us so that we could have a renewed, reconciled relationship with God.
Mm.
And so our ministry actually is helping people to reconcile with God, helping the creation to come back into communion with its creator. And that's what we're trying to do. And so the separation, even pastors not being able to physically be there present with their people, just doesn't, it doesn't work.
Mm-mm.
It doesn't work for what we're called to do, even as pastors. And the good news is that Jesus came and he came to touch, not to be like, oh, you know, I mean, I can only imagine if Jesus was here and, you know, oh, that person has COVID. And we go like, keep your distance. Don't sneeze on me, whatever. Jesus would be going, come here, bro, and
give
his arm around.
Hug.
You know, you're healed. It's all right. You're good to go. And I think that we need that. And I can just say, so many times, just had that opportunity in a hospital, over and over again, where I had to take a hand and pray with somebody, and it was amazing just to see their countenance change and be lifted up. Even though I don't feel like I could help them at all, I knew they were dying. They were not going to make it. But just with that contact from friends, family. Even speaking to my own personal experiences, I mentioned that I had two strokes 5-6 years ago, and it was amazing. You know, there was nothing anyone could do for me, especially the second one. My symptoms hung on for a long time. I was dizzy. I couldn't even hardly get up off the couch. But just to have people come in and to know you had 1,000 people praying for you,
yes.
Just it gave me, you know, what Jesus told us is a peace that passes understanding in a time that was chaos for my wife and I. She was having to carry the load. We had adopted our son, and he was a challenging kid, and, you know, really pressing the limits for her. And to know that I had people that were lifting me up, and I even had some folks come in and they gave me a $300 gift card to Cabela's. And I'm looking at this going, what am I going to do with this? I'm not even going to be able to hunt or fish or anything again. And yet they were like, I was like, you don't need to give me this. They're like, no, we just want to do something nice just to lift you up and encourage you. It was totally really frivolous thing in a really difficult time, and yet there was something to that lifted my soul and lifted my spirits. And I think that's what we need to do as believers, as people. You know, people need love. I can even say, you know, we know for a fact that babies don't thrive in a NICU, prematurely born. They don't thrive unless they have touch from
right.
their parents and their mother. Well, that hasn't changed. I was actually reading some information that said that goes for like the next 10 years of the child's life. We know that kids come. What do kids do? The first thing they do is, you know, wrap you up, give you a hug, grab your hand. We touch, we feel, and so we have to figure out again how to get back to that place. And I think probably one of the biggest challenges for me is this word safe. I do not believe life is safe. It never has been. And I think that we are lying to people if we think that we can keep them safe, because it's not true. Obviously, with the riots downtown and everything else, what are we doing to keep people safe or those businesses safe?
Right.
We haven't kept them safe. even from ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think, can we do things that are preventative and that do the best that we can to you know, to help people and to help them thrive and that kind of thing? Yes, we can do those things. But even as I went into this crisis, I'm going, gosh, how many flu seasons have I not employed these parameters of washing your hands, right, or being more diligent in that stuff? How many times have I even put people in harm's way up to this point? Vulnerable people, mm-hmm, the people that really are vulnerable to these flu-like diseases. And, you know, and it hit me really hard. And so I think what our desire is that we just do that prevention. And we're, you know, hey, this is what we're doing moving forward in our children's ministry. This is what we're doing moving forward in our churches or in our family to do the proper prevention. But the truth is, I can't keep you safe. And there's only one person who can keep you safe, and that's Jesus, you know. And the thing is, I don't think he's trying to do anything to preserve this life. Why? Because he has an eternal life available to us. And this is just when you think of eternity, this life, whether it's 50 years or could have for me been 40 years or whatever it is, it's just a blip. It's you know, I have my fingers closed here, Stacey, and mm-hmm, there's no space. You can't see any space between my, right, fingers. That's this
How
life.
Quick.
It's nothing, you know, compared to eternity. And so, you know, that's the huge thing. And the verse, I think a couple weeks ago, the Lord gave me this, and it's in from Psalms chapter 90, in verse 12. It says, "Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom."
Mm.
Truth is, God has my life in his hands. For me,
yes,
a stroke 6 years ago, 5 years ago, that could have been the end of my life, but that wasn't my day. And it was horrible. It was hard. It was tragic. And yet it wasn't my day. And I think we got to realize there's someone who has my days in his hand, and that's the Lord. COVID doesn't get to determine my day. You know, my wife's driving doesn't get to determine my day, or my husband's driving. You know, I always make this joke for the husbands that are driving their families into church, you know, mm-hmm, and none of those things get to determine my day. How does one person get healthy from COVID and another person doesn't? That's for the Lord to determine. And so I'm looking to him and I'm trusting in him. And I think for us as a church, we've come to this place where it's Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. We fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and really the one who holds our life in his hands. And it says there to throw off everything that entangles and hinders us.
Yes.
And maybe there's someone out there today that this whole thing is really hindered you, just kept you bound up and that kind of thing. Can I encourage you to have some courage?
Yes.
And look to the God of the universe who really knows what he's doing. And he was not taken back by this. He was not surprised at all by COVID. And he had a plan even back in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned. Chapter 3 of Genesis. Mm-hmm. I mean, they screwed up the entire world as far as I'm concerned, right?
Right.
And everybody says, well, if I was there, I would have done better. And it's like, no, you wouldn't have. We're all human. We all have the same propensity for sin. And, you know, but God gave us a free will and he gave Adam and Eve a choice there. And even when they made that poor choice and their one choice changed everything for us today, God even then said, I have a plan.
Yes.
See, it's through the seed of the woman. The seed meaning, you know, speaking of Jesus Christ. He knew what he was going to do. God knew it wasn't like, oh, okay, maybe I'll send my son now and try to figure this out. He knew that what he was going to do even for sin back then. And so we need to look to Christ for our hope. We need to know that he is leading us into,
yes,
eternity. And we trust by faith. What is faith? It's literally just putting my full weight on God. Like I'm putting the weight on this chair I'm sitting in your office. I'm putting my full weight and belief that God has me and he's got me in his hands. And you know, if he chooses today to take me, whether it be COVID or driving out on the road here or you know, going downtown or wherever I go and however things happen today, if God chooses today, that's okay. I'm blessed. Why? Because I get to be with him in eternity. And if he chooses, as he has with my strokes, I have 5-6 more years, I'm blessed because I have another year, another day, another moment with my friends, with my family, another opportunity to even share with them the hope that is there in Christ. And so that's what we're there to do at Calvary Chapel. And we're just saying, hey, come as you are, but don't leave as you are.
That's right. And the cool thing about a relationship with God and knowing Jesus is they've given us the Holy Spirit to walk it all out. Mm-hmm. That counselor, that advisor, that encourager, we can walk in peace. There is peace out there amongst the storm. We're talking with Pastor Kelly Graham from Calvary Chapel here in Salem. I'm Stacey Ann. We're going to be back after this. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio with news that you can use on this Tuesday and every day. We'll be back after this.
Good morning. It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day. This morning. Stepping on my way.
Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, Salem. It's a beautiful day, going to be 77 degrees and continue to be warm and sunny throughout this week. Hopefully you'll get out and enjoy yourself. It's 7:50 in the morning and we're visiting with Pastor Kelly Graham from Calvary Chapel, bringing some good news, a dose of good news. We need some good news. It seems like everything we tune into these days, we're a little frustrated because of just what's going on in our world. And it almost seems, Kelly, like things are spinning out of control and right before our eyes. And there's been a lot of people going, oh, is this the end of the days? And then I'm reminded, when things happen, even in World War II and the Nazis, and, you go back even further in history, is this the end of the days? A lot of people, come Lord Jesus, rapture or whatever you believe in, all of that. And it's like, we are to occupy until he comes. We're to get engaged and be a part of our culture and to love on people. And I loved what you shared earlier about what your parishioners, your fellowship, your brothers and sisters of Christ are doing there at Calvary Chapel. You're loving on one another, even despite the restrictions or the constraints, in a sense, or the governmental oversight or overreach, however you want to explain it. I tend to put things into the positive, but these guidelines, we want to love people and we want to get back to business as usual. And we want to not be burdened with, and that's the struggle. We want to be compliant. We want to do the right thing, mm-hmm. but yet we know that staying away from people is not the answer, right? That's not what we're called to do. So the struggle is real, and as we move forward, we have some questions in our own lives that we need to answer. And this I throw out to you, the listener. Where are you in your relationship to God? Do you believe in Him? Do you believe that there's a purpose and that you're created in His image? Where are you? And what, with that, what are you going to do about it, right? How would you answer that, Kelly? What would you say?
Well, it's real simple.
Mm-hmm.
We look up. We look to God. We ask Him to come in. He says, if there's anyone that has need, right, you just got to ask. And so, even that day, when Pentecost happened, and I know you mentioned that on a previous show, and it was that day that, the Lord came down by the Holy Spirit, and everyone heard the good news, the gospel, in their own language. That was a beautiful moment right there.
Right.
They heard the gospel in their own language, and then Peter gets up and shares about Christ, and they say, what must we do to be saved? He's like, put your believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be baptized. And it really just comes down to giving your life into God's hands, surrendering your life to Him. And that's all we come to do every Sunday at Calvary Chapel is we want to encourage people to do that and then learn about who this God is, this God of the universe that cares about me and loves me. We just teach verse by verse through the Bible. We want you to know. And I don't want you to just know because of me or believe in me as your pastor. I want you to know Jesus and follow my example as I follow Christ. And so, we just want to lead you to Him and show you to Him. And I know that God will make Himself real to you, that you don't even need me.
But Pastor Kelly, you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know the sin that I have in my life. I think you call it sin. I mean, I don't know how a God could accept me.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was the reason Jesus died.
Mm.
He took the sins of the world on Himself. Really, the penalty for sin, the condemnation that comes in, the same condemnation you're putting on yourself for these wrong things or these bad things you've done. See, Jesus took that in, you know, we deserve death. I mean, most of you be like, ah, oh, you know, I'm so bad. I'm so wrong. And what would you deserve? Probably death in the end. But that's not what God wanted for you or for me. And so that's why he sent his son to come and die in my place, to take that penalty. And he, it doesn't matter where the shame's coming from, what you think. It was his own people that hung him there. It wasn't just anybody. It was the Jews, his own people. His friends scattered and took off and left, and Peter denied him, and, you know, and all these things. But Jesus, he's on the cross, and he says three things, basically. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Well, he experienced that separation from his heavenly Father in that moment, right? And then he said, it is finished. What does that mean? Sin, death, all this horrible stuff, it is finished. That's what he was saying there. And he says, the third thing he said was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And who was he speaking of? The people that were hanging him there on the cross. Mm-hmm. He knew about forgiveness. And that's really what it's about. God wants to give you forgiveness. And it's not about you forgiving yourself.
Right.
And to be honest, you can't forgive anyone unless you've actually been forgiven. I always tell my church, you can't give what you don't possess. And
exactly.
So it's really you receiving the forgiveness of God for all of those things, all of who you were, and then having a new life in Christ. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, anyone in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. And so that's really what it's about. And I think that's what we even want. We need that new light, right? Oh, you know, I've been locked in my house. And when you get out and you breathe fresh air and all of these things, you know, it's like, okay, what is this new normal? Well, God wants to give you a new normal in Christ. And it's a beautiful thing. And it's a new normal without fear. Why? Because we're eternal in Christ. It's a new life where there's no shame. Why? Because Jesus took the shame upon himself. It's a new life where love is the call, loving God and loving others. That's it. There's nothing else that we're to be doing. And yet that's not as easy as we think either.
Right.
Loving God is obeying his commands, listening to what he said here in the Bible and in his word. And loving others, well, that's not so easy. Sometimes I'm really bearing with them, and I'm challenged by others. I'm challenged by our governor, right?
Mm.
You know, I'm challenged by even our leadership, and I'm challenged to love. How do I love? How do I be respectful in this kind of situation? And I think, Stacey, that's one of the things, too, for me in this thing with churches is we're not just any gathering.
Mm.
We're a gathering that is concerned with one another.
Yes.
We it's not just a, hey, riotous, go to a game and go crazy and drink and get drunk and do all these things where everybody's out of control and nobody's looking at what they're doing or how they're doing it. At church, we're there thinking and concerned for others. And so it is a different gathering altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where I've been concerned with this whole thing. Why do we need to be locked down the same as all these other gatherings? Because it's not the same.
No, it isn't.
And you have oversight, and we can say, hey, this is what we're going to do as a church, and we all join together in that, in those preventative measures.
When is your gathering?
We meet Sunday mornings at 8:45 and 11 o'clock.
And where are you located?
Our address is 1550 Hoffman Road, but we're really kind of on the corner of Swegel and Cordon. There's New Hope Church to the north and Calvary Chapel to the south, and you'll usually see our big field out there, but our address is actually on Hoffman.
And do you have a website?
Yes, we do. CalvaryChapelSalem.org, I believe.
Fantastic. Pastor Kelly Graham hanging out with me today. Come back again. Let's do this another time, all right?
We'd love to.
All right, Stacey. You are listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, with some good news on this Tuesday. We're here to encourage, engage, and educate you, my friend. Thank you for tuning in. Have a wonderful Tuesday. Remember, over, under, around, or through, no matter what you're encountering, facing today, you and I, we're overcomers. Be blessed.